welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. This is WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. That way you can take advantage of the many talk radio programs that we have to offer you. If you'd like to call in and maybe you have some questions or comments that you would like to share on the air, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month. Time 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Place 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Individuals simply will be asked to sign in at the produce market and provide name and number of people in your family. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Telephone number 740-262-0939, and that is in LaRue, Ohio. I have a thought for you today, and it's called True Happiness. True happiness comes when my mind and senses have become quiet and peaceful. In that state, there is spiritual power. We are performing actions, but free from desires and free from attachment to what we do. Such happiness finishes any sorrow that comes to us. Take time to find that quiet and peaceful place inside, and happiness will stay in your heart forever. Now, don't we just all wish that we could always be peace, serene, and comfortable, and don't have to get all upset and antsy?
Oh, stop it.
Anxiety and all that, right? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it would.
To never get your feathers ruffled?
Yeah. I have a problem with that sometimes.
Or your temperature going to 99.99? Yeah.
Wow. Over stupid things.
True happiness. Hopefully you can use that or tell somebody else about it. Just don't get upset, right? Just maintain, like they used to say, maintain your cool.
They have to say to me.
Maintain your cool.
Yeah, especially when I drove the bus.
Right, absolutely. The voice you hear, other than mine, is Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days, our doomsday prophet.
Yes.
We're getting closer and closer to the end of the era.
That's right.
End of the era. So
nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky, right?
That's right. That's right. And Jeff is here to share some of his heart and his lifelong work with us today. And how you doing?
It seems like I've been here for a long time, doesn't it?
Oh, you haven't, right?
Oh, by the way, I'm 62 today.
Oh, you had a birthday.
I forgot to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least I'm still alive.
Yes. Yes, you are.
That's a miracle in itself.
Tell me about it.
If you read my book, you'll see what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. So we know that that tomorrow's Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the day after that is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, food.
So I kind of wanted to do a show.
Lots of food.
Yes. You know, I was supposed to wait to eat any sweets until Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Well, I broke it. I didn't make it.
I'm sorry. I would have prayed for you if I knew about your...
Well, next time I'll let you know.
Oh, okay.
Pray for me. Because it just didn't work out that way. But
I remember in school, especially elementary school, you know, it was so exciting when the holidays had come along. You remember? And we were, and they asked, you know, us to do a little skit. And I remember some of my friends being up front there, and they were acting like they were the pilgrims coming to America, and they jumped off of their seats like they were landing on the shore and everything, and they had a sheet that they used for a sail, you know. I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, you just got that really good feeling during Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, time off from school and time with your family and gifts and everything. It was so cool back then. I think they've kind of lost that.
Well, plus they took the time to give you the background and all the statistics. Yeah. And then you had to act, like you say, you act in a play, you know.
Yeah.
The reality of it, the ship and the Mayflower and the Indians and the feast and all those
things, yeah.
You know. And then after that, no school until after Thanksgiving, you know, so you had the whole weekend off until.
Yeah, wow, three days at least for Thanksgiving.
But see, now they take off tomorrow. They have Thanksgiving Eve, Thanksgiving, day after, so they don't go back to school till Monday after the day.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's all right. It gives them lots of time. I always thought when I was going to take my books home and get caught up on my homework and everything, I never even cracked a book open. I don't think I ever did. I kept trying to talk to myself and, come on, let's get our homework here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
too much else was going on.
Yeah, you know.
Especially the smell of the turkey. And
well, I had this aunt in Green Camp.
Okay.
And she was an excellent cook. I mean, you know, just excellent. Aunt Edith. And we would all go there for Thanksgiving most of the time. Sometimes we'd rotate it a little bit, take the burden off of her. But she liked doing it. And, man, you'd go in there, I mean, you'd go in there and smell that food like, well, when are we going to eat? How long do we have to wait? I mean,
that's,
you
like,
know.
That's like torture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Smelling it for hours and hours.
I know. Come on. Let's get this turkey on the road here.
And my mom used to put hers in the night before and let it cook all night.
Torture.
Very, very low. And like, oh, gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you're ready to eat it when it was time.
Yes.
And wasn't it nice to go around the table with everybody's talking and you get out, put the turkey down, you get out the hot gravy and pour it on there and all that cranberry and those beans, baked beans with the bacon and all that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else did they put in there.
Potatoes and stuffing.
Yeah. Ham.
Yeah.
But I always ate too much and made myself sick, like everybody else.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want it to end. I want to keep eating.
I know. Well, after all, you've tortured yourself by spending all them hours, you know, and then when it's time to eat, you don't really feel like you can eat.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know.
Well. And I remember coming home from the Army, and it just doing that stuff just seemed like paradise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, man, no more field stuff, no more freezing to death or burning up or whatever, you know. And go there, and, you know, people just don't. That's when I realized that you can't take it for granted. But all of those people are passed away, almost all of them now in my family.
Really?
Edith and Eddie and Bob and Lucy, my aunt and uncle, the people that participated in that.
Right.
And my cousin Roger has moved to Texas, he and his family. And so Mom and I go to, I have an aunt that sometimes cooks it. Most of the time we end up at Ponderosa or Ryan's or something like that. And there was just three or four of us. But so those days are gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I took them totally for granted. You know, you never think that you think these people are immortal or something. You know, you don't believe they're going to die, but Edith got Alzheimer's. And my aunt, we could never really figure out what was wrong with her, but she ended up in a hospital and then in a rest home, and then they took her back to the hospital and she died. And then my Uncle Bob just got, you know, got up in his 80s and he just kind of withered away, you know. So there's nobody left that went to that, mm-hmm. except for one or two of us that are separated by great distances now.
Yeah.
You know, but I am thankful for the past, at least, you know. Well, you don't forget those things.
No, you don't forget those things. And someone had on Facebook to remember those who labored before us and prayed for us. And,
yes.
What can you say? They have been an inspiration for us. They have led us and guided us. And not only that, they help us to understand the value of being thankful.
Yes.
You know, for what you have and what you don't have. You know, because a lot of things we don't have, we didn't need anyway.
And just lead us astray.
Right. You know, yeah. So I'm very thankful for my parents and my mother. My dad used to always go hunting when I was real small, right? And
yeah.
Bring back a rabbit, he tore it with buckshots, right?
Oh. Oh.
And think that we were going to eat this thing, right? It's a rabbit.
It's the only place, the only restaurant you can come to that has hot rabbit. Dan Aykroyd had a joke about that.
Oh, my God.
Come to my restaurant and I serve you a hot rabbit.
Oh, my God.
Well, they weren't bad.
Well, no, but it was just getting past when you start tearing out that fur. You know.
Did you have to do that?
My mother made me learn how to do all that yucky stuff.
Oh.
Come on down here and help me, Linda. Oh, God.
I didn't have to do it, but I saw him doing it.
It stink.
My dad hunted for a long time. I don't know, when I got a little bit older, he quit hunting for some reason.
Wow.
And my grandpa hunted squirrels for years, but I never saw anything except he gave us their tails. A lot of times I wasn't really sure I wanted that, but...
No, and you know, back in those days, you ate what was set before you.
Yeah. You know, yeah, we ate squirrels and rabbits.
I believe it. You had no choice.
And they came from the old school, man.
Yeah, they did.
Grandma Porter told me a story about when she was coming home from church. And they lived out in the old days down there in southern Ohio. I mean, we're talking farm, you know, hillbilly farm area, you know, whatever. And the big rooster that they had came out and attacked her, you know, tried to pluck her, so they had him for dinner that night. They thought that was funny.
Well, I mean, we're laughing.
Yeah,
as if
that's
it is
true.
Funny, but you know, some things that have happened in our past, we've grown beyond that. We've moved on.
Well, I think people that live on farms have a lot different philosophy than people that live in the city. A lot different philosophy about animals, you know.
Sure.
I mean, they take cows to the butcher place and have them butchered and collect their money and all that. Doesn't bother them one bit because that's what they do. And that's how we get to eat our steaks and stuff.
We don't have fried chicken and, you know, all that, right?
Right. I remember reading this one American Indian guy. He said, not just Americans, but the world has forgotten that when you kill something to eat it, you've got the guilt to go with it. He said, I think you really need the guilt.
Really?
You know? You got to kill something.
You know, it seems to be every now and then you'll see someone has killed a lion or killed an elephant or a rhino, and it's all about pride. You know,
yeah.
Their foot is on there and they got their gun up.
At that.
Yeah, look what I did, you know, and a bear. Bears are huge, and they're so frightening to me.
I have a nephew that he skydives.
Uh-huh.
He hunts bears with a bow and arrow.
Really?
And elks and stuff like that. I said, when you shoot, I think he shot the elk with, it was an elk, some big one of those, you know, with antlers. And I said, what do you do when you shoot one of those big things? How do you take it with you? I mean, you do take it with you, don't you? And he said he had joined a program with a bunch of people, and if you shoot an elk or something like that, then they all get together and take care of it and get out their buzz saws and everything and cut it up, and
right,
and then you get to keep the head and all that. I said, oh, I wouldn't even bother with that stuff. I wouldn't even think of bothering with that. But, I mean, some people like to do that, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know if he skydived to get there.
True.
But he's not a bragger. Mm-hmm. He just likes to do that stuff, you know. Right. You wouldn't even know he did it if somebody hadn't. I wouldn't have known he was doing that stuff if somebody hadn't told me.
Right. Wow. So what are you most thankful for this?
Salvation.
Salvation?
Because Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, you can get out there and be a rich guy that can shoot elk and, you know, like Esau or something.
Right.
You know, you had the hairy guy with the big bow and arrow and everything, and look at me.
Yeah.
But, and God's showing us in Scripture that that doesn't necessarily gain favor with him. What does gain favor with God is whether you've accepted his son or not, mm-hmm, into your heart. That's what makes the difference. And you can't get that across to some people. They go to all kinds of Christian stuff sometimes. You know, they'll go to concerts and stuff, but they never get it. Mm-hmm. You ever know somebody like that? Oh, that was, yeah, a beautiful symphony. Really enjoyed that. Well, good night.
Right.
You know.
So do you think that a lot of people, the only time they really give thanks is Thanksgiving to God?
I don't think, you know, if we're talking about the unbelieving world, are they thankful? Sometimes I think they're aware of God. Like, you know, when you lay down at night and you're aware of God's presence in the silence, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you think, well, thank you, Lord, that I'm still alive. And thank you that I don't live in a third world country where I have to starve, you know, or something like that, help those people. But they don't really grasp on to, like Isaiah 53, where he was despised and rejected of men, a man acquainted with sorrows and grief. They don't get that, you know.
They get God is love.
Yeah.
They get that.
Yeah. But they don't really comprehend it because they've never accepted him into their hearts. And I used to just sit and ponder on that and go, why did I get saved and why did they not get saved? Mm-hmm. Well, it's your personal decision.
True.
In other words, you decide whether you're going to be saved or not. And so a lot of times they act like, if you're going to bring up that subject, then how dare you point your bony finger at me? That's what, right, they think you're doing.
True.
And
or cramming doctrine down their throat.
Right. And some Christians do that. But that's because they don't really know how to witness. But some people need that, too.
Yeah.
I know a person that responds to, like, I went to that wax museum in Mansfield with them. And there was this one part where this guy was falling down into the lake of fire, and he was going, "Yeah," you know, and that person was responding to that, going, "Oh, that's so scary and terrifying and everything." But I don't know if they ever got saved or not. But
they don't believe that, Jeff. They do not believe that our loving Savior, our loving God, is the one who puts us in hell fire, or, let me go a little further, or has written a book and he's allowed man to write this book. They don't believe that that is God's word. They also believe that he did not tell Joshua to go Achan. Remember, he took that stuff that wasn't his and hid,
yeah,
in the ground, you know what I'm saying, and buried it even after he was told not to. They do not believe that God told them to go kill him, his family, and destroy everything he had. Why would a God that loves us do that?
Well, you know, Christians these days, we're so used to the grace thing that for God to do something like that, like start destroying a whole city because of one person's sin or one family's sin, because they sat there and were apathetic and didn't do anything about it. So God starts destroying the whole city, and then finally they go, "Why are you doing this?" Because you're not taking responsibility. You know, it's just like me telling you I had some drug dealers that lived across the street from me. Mm-hmm. There's nobody on that street. They could care less. You know, you never see them anyways, you know. Right. They very seldom seem to come out of their house. And so they don't take responsibility. Well, if that's these are the kind of drug dealers that start taking over your city or taking over your city block, then they might start waking up finally.
Right.
But it's like very close to too late.
Right.
You know. So why during Noah's time? You know, and the Bible does say, you know, in Genesis that, or I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the last days would be as in the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. How many people got on that ark? What?
Eight
people got on that ark.
I guess it was probably a million or so, maybe even more people on the ark during that time. Because you have to realize Methuselah had lived 1,000 years.
So apparently, God had made it crystal clear to them that, you know, there was a catastrophe coming. Mm-hmm. And he said, and
they didn't believe it, though.
They didn't believe nothing. They wouldn't listen to nothing. So, and the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be in the last days. Narrow is the gate, straight is the way. Few there shall be that find it. Mm-hmm. So, now, I think America used to be a lot more thankful. Like when I was telling you about, you know, we used to have the pilgrim thing.
Right, right.
And they'd jump out of their boat and go ashore and everything. Now, they think that is so corny and so stupid and everything, you know, the pilgrims. And I remember I took a college course at OSU. It was a history class, and this guy was saying, the pilgrims didn't come here because of religious persecution. They came here because they knew there was gold here. You know, how did he manage to come into that knowledge?
I don't know.
Sometimes I'd argue with them, sometimes I didn't.
Right, right, right.
You know.
But, you know, there is a sense that, like you said, we do have a lot to be thankful for being born and raised here in the United States. After all, it's the greatest country.
That's
in
right.
The world, you know, free, democratic.
Everybody should have to either be in the military for 3 years or go to some of these countries and see this poverty and the filth. And the whatever you want to call it, it's horrible smells and trash in the streets, and you know, the only people that seem to be happy are the kids, and they still run around and laugh and stuff. But the rest of the world's like, I don't know how they stand it, living in tin huts and some of these islands that people go to for vacation. My mom said she went to, I don't remember the name of the island. She went on a pretty big cruise one time years ago, and she said if you get beyond the hotels and everything and beyond the souvenir people that sell souvenirs and all that and go back in the back, oh, the poverty back there, she said it's just unbearable.
Wow.
It smells so bad and
yeah.
Everything, you know. And I've talked, you know, you sit down and talk to a guy. I remember talking to a guy when I was at the outpatient clinic in Columbus. I think he was a Navy guy, and I said, he was talking about how he was stationed in Japan, and I said, I'd like to see Japan. He said, well, I'm glad to be back in America. It's what I'm telling you.
Right.
You know, that's what everybody says.
Right.
Now, I said that when I first got out because, you know, I was sent to Germany's not too bad. Europe's not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see that kind of poverty most of the time in Europe.
Right.
You do in Mexico and sometimes in France a little bit of poverty, real bad poverty. Well, there's some bad poverty in America, let's face it. But this country, you know, there's just something about it that no other country has. You could just feel it when you come back. You feel that graceful, thank God I'm in America again, you know.
Right.
Amazing, isn't it? We've got this big, powerful military to protect us. We've got two oceans between everybody.
That's true.
You know? Mm-hmm. We don't usually have to worry about them. We've got nuclear submarines that No, I mean, if they're smart,
you know,
they...
We have food, too. We have food.
Yes, with tremendous amount of food.
Could use,
yeah.
Know, in those other countries, but... And
well, America has...
Do we ever think about the things that we just waste and throw away as if it's nothing?
America has exported a lot of food to other countries and help, and medical help and everything, you know, and then they turn around and smack us in the face.
But that's another thing to be thankful for, that we can help other people.
Yeah.
Who are suffering.
We've got such a great abundance,
yes,
that we can help others.
Right, and then we have also missionaries.
Yeah.
That go all over the world, you know, to tell the gospel,
mm-hmm,
the good news about Jesus Christ and what he's done for each and every one of us. So, born in the United States, and first of all, you said be thankful for salvation.
Yes.
That was number one, salvation. And being born in the United States, livable conditions.
Yes.
That's a lot to be thankful for.
Yes.
Also. And abundance.
Yes.
Even our...
What were we talking about before we came on the air? We're talking about cars.
Yeah,
you know,
cars.
This kind of car, how much it costs,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy trading cars and,
yeah,
having a different car every now and then.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's fun to get in and drive around. Oh, the air conditioner works. Ooh. You know, but
people in other countries walk for miles without any shoes on their feet.
Yeah, they don't have any idea what they don't even comprehend what we have.
What's going on over here?
And we're mostly overweight.
Yeah.
You know.
Too much, right?
Right.
Right.
Get really mad because the furnace went out, or the, you know, the stereo went out.
Yes.
Some unnecessary thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I thought Star Trek was supposed to be on tonight. What's that doing on, you know?
That is so true, so true. It's like we're getting closer.
I mean, I'm no different. I admit that. You know, I complain about stuff like that. But there's always, I'm always thinking about people in other countries where I get this one called Blood of the Martyrs publication where it, and sometimes I can't read it because I'm just not in the mood, but, mm-hmm, and it tells about how Christians are being massacred and Muslim countries, especially now, you know, used to be Russia all the time. Now it's the Muslims, you know, and you read about the Christians and their bravery over there,
mm-hmm,
their amazing courage over there. How do they do it? You wonder, you know, but they do it.
But, you know, there's a scripture that says, you know, even when these things come upon you, don't even think what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what to say, you know. But they lay down their life willingly. And what
daily.
Makes, yes, daily. So what makes us think, Christians over here in the United States, that we will not be tempted to the point where, will you lay down your life or not? Not that
now
we
that,
have to for our God. No, he died for us. We don't have to.
No, and we don't have to crawl on the floor, you know. Even Martin Luther had a problem with that. He would get in this room and lay on the cement floor and howl and, mm-hmm, oh, God, please forgive me. And fortunately, the monk that was over him was to talk to him about that, said, you know, that is really not necessary, you know. But what I'm saying is that God forgives us. If you just ask for forgiveness,
mm-hmm,
he forgives you. You don't have to crawl on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, we got a country that it's like just, and I've mentioned Tyre and Sidon before, where Jesus said he was going to bring them down. And they said, when you looked at Tyre and Sidon, they were port cities back then. They were very rich. I don't think they probably thought that nothing could happen to them.
Right.
Until Alexander the Great came along and leveled them both. Because he wanted to take over the world, you know, isn't one of the great Hitlers in life, you know. And God said there must have been some evil going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was saying was is that people, they'll come to church and maybe be in a big play or big, maybe they're a good singer,
mm-hmm,
and so on, and they've got four or five kids and they got a couple cars in the garage and big lawnmower and big, I've been to so many Bible studies that were like that. Have you ever been to those? and they talk about their kids in college, and they talk about their vacations and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there, back then, when I was going to a couple of those, I had just started driving the bus, and I was like in kind of sheer poverty. And I was eating, okay, and I had barely enough gasoline to keep going. I was sitting there going, Lord, what's the matter with me? You know, how's come out? Now I'm glad I didn't have that stuff.
Right.
Because now if God gives me something, I just so much appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So we live in a country where the people have got their blinders on there. And I remember an assistant pastor recently saying that he believed this church was turning into a church of Laodicea. Mm-hmm. Thou sayest, I am increased with goods and have need of nothing. But knowest thou not that thou art wretched and poor and blind, mm-hmm, and miserable and naked? Well, what's he saying? Spiritually, you're not doing so good. I mean, you got two big lawnmowers, and you got two big cars in your garage, and
right,
you got four kids, and two of them are off to college getting straight A's in engineering and biochemistry or whatever it is, you know, or becoming a doctor. Mm-hmm. And they're caught up in this material world. They're just totally overcome by it, and they don't have a clue that anything could be wrong. I remember when I handed out some of my books at a Bible study, I was telling you about that. They said, what's this book about? And I said, Bible prophecy. Mm-hmm. You know, Antichrist, Armageddon, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, we don't believe that's going to happen anytime soon. And rah, 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 rah. And JC, I say one thing about him. He said, it's coming.
Yes. No, we don't
it's
know.
It's closer that. Than you think.
Right. It is.
You know?
Yeah.
That's one thing I'll say about him. He does believe we're in the last days. Mm-hmm. You know? But somebody, you know, like, I listened to this program on WXML, Upper Sandusky, last night on my way to go visit my mom in Galleon. And there were three or four people there who had written books and were doing research and talking on radio and so on, saying they were talking about all the stuff I talk about, apostasy, how people don't want to talk about eschatology, end of the world stuff. They don't want to talk about God's judgments and severe fiery wrath and judgment coming. But it is.
Right.
Just as in the days of Noah, they're asleep.
So I guess you're saying we should be thankful that an end to a lot of these atrocities are coming.
Yeah.
Right? The poverty. Like, we see people in poverty and hunger. And
everybody should see that.
Wars and rumors of wars. All,
yes.
You know, these things are getting ready. One day soon going to stop. So you're saying that that's something else we should be thankful for.
Well,
or do we like living like this?
Some people, you know, they'll get up and I guess I didn't finish what I got off on another tangent. But what I want to say is that we'll go to church and our churches are prosperous, you know. Mm-hmm. And we have these big, beautiful plays. I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people, when they leave there, they act as if God doesn't even exist. And there's no interest in him whatsoever outside of the church, you know.
So you're saying once they're in the church, it's hallelujah, clap my hands, sing my song, do my prayer, and when I leave the building, it's over.
I've done my obligation.
It's over.
It's supposed to be a lifestyle. It's not supposed to be a once-a-week thing.
Twice-a-year thing.
Yeah.
Christmas and Easter.
Yeah. Oh, there's some people that do that.
Yeah.
Now, I have been very impressed with many of the people who attend Victory and Truth Ministries, because many of them are very versed in the Word. Mm-hmm. It has some issues, you know.
Well, don't we all have issues?
Yeah.
I mean, if not, please, stand up. If you have no issues in life, no matter how versed you are in the world,
yeah.
I mean, things happen. I mean, we're human. We're not perfect.
Yeah.
Things are going to happen, you know.
But I think that because of the pressures of the day and everything, that a lot of these type of churches are starting to float away. It's so easy to do that.
Well, that's part of the great apostasy.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to be very, very careful. Watch.
Yes.
Watch what's going on, because it could get, you know, one of the crabs or clams could come along, grab a hold of you, and pull you along with the current.
Yeah.
You know, and we talked about that quite a bit.
And that's something else we have to be thankful for. And you know, that one, I think it was a man who said, you know, Lord, bless me or do something for me, because I'm not like them other.